His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, would often explain the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It has descended into this world from the spiritual realm for the spiritual reorientation of all living beings. We are all originally Krishna conscious, but we have forgotten the very essence of our existence. Being part and parcel of Krishna, we are eternally meant for the service of Krishna. But in this forgetful state, we are now struggling hard in this material existence for the purpose of trying to find satisfaction. Every living being is by nature looking for satisfaction, because as a part of Krishna, we are Satchidananda. We are eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss, ecstatic bliss. And the soul can find no resting place until it dives deeply into that ocean of bliss through the loving service of the source of all bliss, or Krishna. All of our efforts are futile for happiness unless we understand our connection to the source of happiness, Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is the original natural consciousness of every living being. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has descended in his own personal form as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us the sublime method by which we can awaken our natural state of Krishna consciousness through the congregational chanting of the holy names. It is described in Shastra, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anjata. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way of purifying the heart to its natural state except through the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally took the role of a devotee in order to demonstrate personally how to perfect our lives through the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put the greatest emphasis on associating with devotees, hearing regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity of the Lord, living in a holy place, and chanting the holy names of Krishna. These five principles are considered most essential, and they provide the very foundation for all of our spiritual development. Associating devotees means being with people who are genuinely and sincerely trying to overcome the temptations of material enjoyment and sinful activities, and trying to engage their body, mind, words, and very life in the service of the Lord under the direction of proper spiritual masters in a proper disciplic succession. In that company, to encourage one another and to serve one another. That is called the association of devotees. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important aspect of our devotional life, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literatures. It is the very commentary of the Brahma Sutra. Sri Jayadvaita Maharaj ki.
Jai! Vedavyas had written the four Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, many great histories. He summarized it all in the Vedanta Sutras. But Vedanta Sutras is written in such a way that it is very, very difficult to understand because it is so concise, essential truths contained in each sutra. And all of the great acharyas of all the sampradayas have written their commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. For without such realized commentaries, no one can understand. But the author wrote his own commentary, Vedavyas. Srila Prabhupada uses the example that if you really want to know what is the inner meaning of a book, you have to know it from the author. Everyone may have their opinions. He used the example of a book called Shah Jahan. And in this book, the whole book was about the atrocities of the great Mughal ruler, Aurangzeb. So someone approached the author and asked, every page is about Aurangzeb. There's only a few references of Shah Jahan. The book should be titled Aurangzeb. The author explained that the whole purpose of the book is to show what anxiety Shah Jahan was feeling because of what his son was doing. Therefore, the point of the book is Shah Jahan, not Aurangzeb. So the author knows what is the essence of his what he is trying to portray in his writings. So Vedavyas himself, under the guidance of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Narada Muni, wrote his own commentary for Vedanta Sutra in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And knowing this, because the Bhagavatam itself declares this truth, through disciplic succession, this has been accepted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami under his direction, and later Srila Jiva Goswami, they emphasize their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no reason to comment when the author has already done so on Vedanta Sutra. But because of some criticism, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote commentary of Vedanta Sutra. But it was all according to the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was the supreme commentary ever revealed to this world. So it is very important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Nasta praesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati utama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. When we hear the Bhagavatam every day, this is very pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who from within our heart dispels all illusions. When we actually develop and a taste, an enthusiasm, an eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to preach Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, as declared in the second canto, is meant for the purification and the auspiciousness of every living entity in every planet, in every universe. It's not a scripture simply for India. And Srila Prabhupada, that is why he began his great mission armed with the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, carrying it to every corner of the world and encouraging his disciples and followers to print it, to distribute it, to preach it, to live it. You cannot understand the book Bhagavatam except through the person Bhagavatam, one who is genuinely, honestly following the principles given in Bhagavatam, which means, in essence, to accept that Krishna is ultimately a person and that we are his servants, and that through bhakti, through devotion to the Lord, we can gradually gain the mercy of the Lord, be cleansed of all misgivings, and realize our eternal existence in the spiritual world as the Lord's servant. And the third principle is living in a holy place. Srila Prabhupada explained that the cities are in the mode of passion. And the place where there is liquor or meat, that is the mode of ignorance or illicit sex or gambling. And the places like the forest, the countryside, they are in the mode of goodness. But wherever the devotees are gathering together to hear the glories of the Lord and chant the holy names of the Lord, that is Vaikuntha. That is not the material world. There is a saying that Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. And Krishna also explains, Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, that wherever my devotees are chanting my holy names, I am there. So that means wherever sincere devotees are invoking the names of Krishna, that is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada never left Vrindavan. He dug a canal to bring Vrindavan to every town, every village, every home in the world through the propagation of the chanting of the holy names of
Krishna.
Associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place. What is next? Deity worship. Worship of the deities is very important because in order to understand that we have a personal relationship with the Lord, and in order to engage our senses in the service of the Lord, it is very important that we actually have an object of meditation. The deity is not an idol. The Lord is everywhere. One time, someone from Arya Samaj challenged Srila Prabhupada that why you are saying that the deity eats? God is not in the deity. And Srila Prabhupada asked, is God everywhere? And the person said, yes, God is everywhere. So Srila Prabhupada said that if he's everywhere, he's also in the deity. But the difference is you cannot see him everywhere. Therefore, he is appearing very specially in this form so that you can see him, so that you can dress him, you can bathe him, you can pray to him. And God is unlimited, inconceivable. By the love of his devotees, he appears in the form of a deity. And Krishna says in Gita, if you offer me food with love and devotion, I will eat. So if you offer the deity food with love and devotion, he eats. So you say he doesn't eat, and Krishna says he eats. So should I believe you? Should I believe Krishna? In Prabhupada's words, or a loafer like you. Prabhupada said, I will believe Krishna. So the deity, the spiritual master, trains the disciples how to properly have faith in worship the deity. And as we can see, hundreds and hundreds of people coming together for the purpose of seeing the beautiful form of the Lord and pleasing him by chanting his holy names. Hundreds of people in a place like Tirupati, thousands of people every day are simply busy in a unified way to serve the deity. And in every home, we can tangibly and formally install Krishna as the proprietor and the focus of all activities by placing the deity in our home. Whether it is in the form of a photo, or marble, or brass, painting. So deity worship is very, very important to understand in its true scientific form. And the first principle is the chanting of the holy names. Because actually, all of these other four principles are meant to create a proper service attitude and a proper environment where we can practice the Yuga Dharma. Where there is no other way, no other way to purify our heart completely. Because Krishna has descended in his name. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to demonstrate by his own example these principles. Therefore, he came in the role of a devotee. And no one would dare to call him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he certainly was. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, so many people claim to be God. If they have a little more knowledge than the ordinary people, if they have a few more little mystic powers than the ordinary people, then foolish people say, you are God. And they like to hear this. One person here in India, millions of people declare he's God. But once a great Vaishnavacharya approached him and said, I want to know, are you God or a servant of God? He knew that if he said he was God, he was going to be completely demolished according to Shastric references. So he said, I am a servant of God. Then why you declare to be God? He said, I don't declare, my disciples declare, what can I do? But in the early 70s, one time in the Hare Krishna movement, some of the senior disciples declared Prabhupada to be God. Do you remember? He wasn't one of them. He was on the other side. But these were all big leaders. Prabhupada is God. He is Bhagawan. And devotees reported, Prabhupada, they are declaring you to be Bhagavan. Prabhupada could have said, I am not declaring, they are declaring, what can I do? And then he would have been Bhagavan Prabhupada. But he did not allow them to declare. He immediately, he came down so forcefully, he kicked the men out of the movement, right? You're not allowed to go to, these men, he spread it all over. These men are rascals, they are not allowed to go to my temples. They should just travel and purify themselves. He took such a strong stand just to establish the most important principle that we are all the servants of the Lord. And Prabhupada again and again and again, he says, any guru who says he's God is dog. The guru is always the servant of the Lord. And he is always teaching people by his example to be a servant of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Jagat Guru, he actually came as a servant of the Lord. And if anyone called him God, he would hold his ears and call out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. The living entity is the eternal part and parcel servant of the Lord. Krishna is God. Krishna is Vibhu. We are Anu. He is great. We are small. But the greatness of Krishna is that through bhakti, Krishna becomes subordinate. The Vibhu, the great, becomes subordinate to the small, when the small worships him with pure love. And throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, we find this most attractive opulence of the personality of Godhead. How he becomes conquered by the love of his devotee. How he washed the feet of Sudama Vipra and put him on his own bed, throne, and had the goddess of fortune fan him with a chamara. The Lord loves to serve his own devotees. And the stories of the Lord's relationships with devotees is the greatest treasure for all Vaishnava's hearts. Krishna became chariot driver of Arjuna. Take me, take me here to the center of the armies. Yes, I will take you. This is the great wonder of bhakti. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish how a devotee should behave. So none of his devotees would dare to declare him to be God. Except one day, Advaitacharya was in an extraordinarily ecstatic mood. And he gathered the devotees together in Jagannath Puri. And he said, "Today, O brothers, fill your mouths with the names and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we will not sing the glories of any other avatars. We will only discuss and sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, who is the essence of all avatars. You chant very loudly because the Lord has descended into this world and he is allowing us to accompany him. And he has come to remove the burden of all sins from this world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to deliver Krishna Prema to the whole world. Therefore, today we will sing his glories. And you sing loudly, and I will dance and dance in ecstatic love and just cast all fear aside." When the devotees heard this, they were thinking that, "Lord Chaitanya, if we publicly start chanting his names as Godhead, he will become very angry with us." But at the same time, Advaitacharya is senior to all of us. We cannot disobey him. So by the influence of Sri Advaitacharya, everyone started loudly calling out the holy names of Lord Chaitanya. And Advaitacharya himself composed beautiful songs. He was leading everyone in singing how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord Narayan. And he has appeared in this beautiful golden complexion, although he's actually the bluest Krishna, who wears a wonderful forest garland in Vrindavan. And in this avatar, he is taking the role of his devotees, and in great ecstatic love, he is chanting his own holy names. And how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, merciful of all incarnations. How he rolls in the ground in ecstatic love for himself, tasting the nectar of love for his own self. In this way, he was going on and on and on, and all the devotees were chanting beautiful, beautiful prayers glorifying Lord Chaitanya as Narayan, as Krishna, as the source of all avatars, and the kirtan became so ecstatic. Because in Puri, nobody ever had a chance to glorify the Lord in this way. And Advaitacharya was dancing in wild blissfulness. He was just leaping and howling and roaring and dancing. And the kirtan became so loud that Lord Chaitanya heard it. So he came. And he stood. And for a few minutes, he listened to this kirtan. And then he became very embarrassed, and he fled. He ran away. And he went back to his room, the Gambira, in the house of Kashi Mishra. Meanwhile, when the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya come, they were so out of external consciousness that they started chanting louder, and Advaita was dancing higher. And when Lord Chaitanya left, they were so enraptured that they were experiencing his presence so much in his holy name that they were chanting even louder and more enthusiastic, and everyone was dancing and dancing as they were singing Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. So the kirtan went on, and then they decided to bring the kirtan party to Lord Chaitanya's residence, the Gambira. Advaitacharya, Srivas, and others, they are all dancing and chanting the glories of Lord Gaura Hari, and they arrived at his residence. Lord Chaitanya heard them coming, so So he lay down to go to sleep. And they were all at the door singing. And then Govinda came and said, "My lord, all your devotees are outside your door waiting for you." And at that time he was just laying down and he said, "Let them come in." And then he went to sleep. So they came in and they saw Lord Chaitanya sleeping. And they were quiet and very much afraid. And they were all looking at him. And then he woke up. He said, "Ah, the Vaishnavas have come. Why you have rejected chanting the holy names of Krishna? Why you have abandoned chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna? And why have you done that and come here to wake me up?" And Srivas Thakur replied, "My lord, we are not independent. We are simply acting for your pleasure." He said, "You are trying to conceal yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But let me tell you something." And then Srivas took his hand and started moving it toward the sun. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him. He said, "What does that mean? Why you are moving your hand toward the sun?" Srivas replied that, "I will cover the sun with my one hand. But it's not possible for me to cover the sun with my one hand. But even if it is for me possible for me to cover the sun with one hand, it is impossible for you to cover your glories as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have been trying to hide, but by your transcendental qualities, it is impossible. Even in the ocean of milk, you could not hide your glories." And then he explained that, "My lord, the whole world knows, the whole world will know your glories." And just at that time, he said, at that time, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people from the Jagannath Temple and from all over Puri and from other lands as well, all gathered at Lord Chaitanya's house. And they were all chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srivas said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to punish all these tens and thousands of people? It's too late. We know. From the Himalayas to Setu Banda, your names will be glorified. All over the earth, your names will be glorified. All over the universe up to Brahmaloka, your names will be glorified, because you have come to deliver the whole existence." Lord Chaitanya, he said to Srivas that this is all your arrangement that you have made to reveal the truth of my glories, and I am defeated by you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead loves to accept defeat to his devotee who sacrifices his life to serve the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and to show great compassion to the fallen souls of this world. Srila Prabhupada he was the first in this great line of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara to take the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and give the whole world this understanding. So we can understand by this story how Srila Prabhupada was defeated by the Lord, defeated by his love, his devotion. Srila Prabhupada told us a story how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to teach us by his own devotion and faith how we are always depending on the will of Krishna. how we are never independent. And therefore, whenever anyone inquired from him about his plans, he would always explain, if it is the will of Krishna. Even Prabhupada said if he were to walk down the street to go to some place, he said, I will go there if it is the will of Krishna. I will take my prasad if it is the will of Krishna. I will go to Calcutta if it is the will of Krishna. He would very, very carefully always add that to any of his future activities, if it is the will of Krishna. Because we must be conscious, always conscious, that we are always subordinate to the will of Krishna. We are never the doer. The ego is we are thinking we are the doer of our activities. We want to take credit for our activities. But unless it is sanctioned by the Lord, nothing is possible. We do not know if we will live till tomorrow, unless it is the will of the Lord. So if it is the will of the Lord, I am praying to return to you within 2 to 4 weeks. And my humble request is you pray for me to survive the meetings. The meetings are exalted with all exalted persons. But the problem is I am not so exalted, so I need your prayers. So at this time we'll have kirtan. Because I have to leave for Mayapur. I have airplane. Sir, we could have 7 minutes of questions and answers.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, as you said that our ego always tells us that we are the doer. Our ego always compels us to think that we are the doer of the activity and we take the credit of anything we do, say good. And that is the general mentality, that we tend to take the credit. But if we are not supposed to take the credit, or we should think that I am not the doer, then why is it in the material world we see that if something wrong is done, then he is also punished, or he is being blamed for something wrong? Why the vice versa is not the truth?
He'd had the desire. There are 5 factors in any action: the place, the senses, the work to be done, the doer, so-called doer, and finally the super soul. So all of those factors come into play. So if someone thinks that he himself is doing everything, then that's false ego. To accomplish something, it required the sanction of the super soul. So to accomplish the wrong thing, that also required the sanction of the super soul, but it required the proposal of the living entity. And the living entity is responsible for that proposal. Is that all right? Clear or not clear?
So what about the mistakes, like say accidents, or sometimes someone is punished or someone is blamed for something he actually did not want to do,
but he did it?
Yeah.
He says he didn't want to do it, but he chose in such a way that he obliged himself to do it. He chose in such a way that now it's inevitable that he'll do it. Some drug addict, he says, I didn't want to take this drug. But he was the one who started and got himself the habit. Now he can't stop. But why can't he stop? Because he started. And whose choice was that? It was his own choice.
Maharaj, you say that while Sankirtan is going on, everyone should dance. And on the other hand, while chanting, we should concentrate on the mantra. So when I dance, my concentration goes to the seeing the dance and not on the mantra. So how should I do like this?
You have to learn how to dance properly. By concentrating on the mantra.
Do you believe in Advaita concept?
We believe in what Advaitacharya taught. In his concept. And his concept was that we can never become God. We are Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. This is the concept we believe, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That we are simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different from the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Supreme is Vibhu and we are Anu. Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are part and parcel of Krishna. As the sun is emanating innumerable sun rays, each sun ray is qualitatively identical to the sun. It is giving off heat and it is giving off light. But the sun ray is quantitatively always a part of the sun. The sun ray could never become the sun. When the sun ray comes into the room, it is pleasing. When the sun comes into the room, there is annihilation. So there is a difference. We are qualitatively one with God because we are emanating from the Lord. We are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But He is the supreme cause of all causes. He is the ultimate reservoir of all existence. And we are just one little tiny part of that. The nature of the part is to serve the whole. When the spiritual spark, the Jivatma, reunites with the Lord by making his interest the same as the Lord, that is the true perfection of oneness. That is love. There is oneness in love, in that I have no separate desire than the desire of my beloved. That is surrender. Krishna explains, sarva dharman puritya mam ena kam sharanam braja. That surrender is real love. To surrender your will to the will of the beloved. Whatever Krishna wants, that is our life and soul, simply to please him. And that is the perfection of oneness. But in order for that oneness to have the true transcendental ecstasy of loving reciprocation, there must be duality, dvaita. There must be the object of love, there must be the lover, and there must be bhakti, devotion, or service, which is the expression of that love. And these three principles are eternally existing. There is the object of service, there is the servant, and there is the service. And that is the perfect essence of all the revealed scriptures, to understand our relationship with God in that way. We are also inconceivably simultaneously one with God and different. We are inconceivably simultaneously one and different from every living entity. We are of the same quality, but yet we eternally have different personalities. Your soul is eternally separate from my soul. It has to be. Otherwise, If I'm liberated, then you'll be liberated. Why one person goes back to the spiritual world and the rest of us are rotting in this material world in illusion? Because we have to be responsible for our own lives. We are all one and different from each other, and we are also one and different from this material existence. In that this material existence is an energy of the Lord, and we are also spiritually the energy of the Lord. But we are different because this is the external energy. We are the marginal energy. So in every aspect, we should understand in terms of Achintya-Bheda-Bheda-Tattva. They are one, inconceivably one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The general conception of Advaita philosophy is that temporarily Brahman has become covered by illusion. But after coming out of this illusion, we realize we are Brahman, we are God, the undifferentiated, impersonal existence that is pervading everywhere. But actually, that philosophy has no logic. How does the Supreme become covered and subordinate by his own energies? How could illusion cover God? If illusion could cover God, that means illusion is greater than God. And if illusion is greater than God, then God is not supreme. But the infinitesimal spiritual spark can come under this illusion, because the Lord has three primary energies: the internal energy, the external energy, and we are the marginal energy. As Jayadvaita Maharaj explained, if we desire to serve the Lord, then we always remain subordinate to his spiritual energy, which is full of bliss, which is eternal. But if we desire to exploit the resources of the Lord, to enjoy separate from the Lord, then we are subordinate to his external energy, where we have to transmigrate through 8,400,000 species of life. Each species, we have to suffer the three miseries of one's own body and mind, the miseries of natural conditions, and the miseries caused by other living beings. We have to suffer birth, old age, disease, and death. We're kicked. That is what we believe. That is what the scriptures declare.
In Gita it is said that one should do his action without any attachment. At the same time, when Vishnu comes on earth, when Yashoda was very puzzled by seeing earth rotating in Sri Krishna's mouth, so she fell down. Then Yashoda's spirit was told by Vishnu ki, okay, the son you are having is not simple son, he is a form of mine. And after that he restores her the attachment of the world. Why he gives attachment to Yashoda when he himself says ki one should act with detachment?
If you understand Gita properly, Krishna says, Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru. Mami vai shashi shatyante prati jani priyoshime. He says we should not be attached to this world, but we should become attached to him. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. The perfection of our life is to become completely attached to Krishna. To the degree we become attached to Krishna, to that degree we naturally become detached from the illusory enjoyments of this world. So the process of detachment is attachment. Positive spiritual attachments to Krishna. We want to become attached to the deity of the Lord. We want to become attached to the devotees of the Lord. Lord Kapila Dev explains, the same attachments you now have to material enjoyment, just direct them toward the Vaishnavas.
become attached to the association of devotees, become attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, become attached to chanting the holy names of the Lord, become attached to serving the Lord. These attachments will awaken transcendental love, transcendental bliss. That is the conclusion of Gita. Thank you very much. And now we will nourish those attachments by having beautiful sankirtan of the holy names.